You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to DNVR Buffs Live. We are presented by the American Raptors, as always. Head on over to AmericanRaptors.com. Grab your free ticket for one of their rugby matches or stream other games on that site. Today on the show, I'm joined by my guy, RK. We are talking the biggest story in Boulder right now.
Maybe in like 20 years.
Yes, exactly. We're leading right off with it. Deion Sanders. The rumors have been very, very heavy over the last couple days. Most notably, an article coming from 24/7 Sports just yesterday from Coach Reed on Twitter. Tons of great nuggets from there, but I think the biggest takeaway is this seems real, Ryan.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. Going back to the very beginning of the search, just about everyone I talked to up in Boulder kept mentioning his name. And, you know, this came after I think we did our, like, ranking show.
Yeah.
When I was like, yeah, that's just a complete pipe dream.
And I know.
We'll just kind of,
it he would be amazing. S-tier.
Yeah. It was like S tier, but pipe dream. Let's move on.
Right.
And shortly thereafter, someone talked to me and said, maybe not much as much of a pipe dream as you thought. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then, you know, you talk to people around, some more connected, some less connected. And just everyone I talked to kept saying, like, don't count out Prime. Don't count out Prime. And all the way up until like the last 4 or 5 days, I really was still just like, no way.
Yep.
And now it feels like it's very real, at least from a potential standpoint. You know, we haven't gotten to the it's real, it's happening standpoint, but we have gotten to the it's real. This is actually an option that's in the cards.
100%. It's very exciting. I mean, I was dismissive of it too until we really couldn't ignore it anymore this week. With all the buzz going around, it should also be mentioned that he was, in that 24/7 sports article, mentioned South Florida is in conversations with him also. It seems like he's taking advantage of his situation right now. I mean, they're riding off an 11-0 season. They're in a conference championship SWAT game this weekend. I guess, I don't want to say how serious is this because we've already kind of know this is for real, but what would he do for this team if hired?
To me, maybe this is a little bit too like morbid of a take, but to me it's like this might be our only way out legitimately. And I've been trying to emotionally protect myself against feeling like that since I kind of started to feel like this was real. And so I'm trying to fight against that, you know, to let it feel like if it's not this, it's nothing, because maybe there'll be another opportunity down the road. But at the very least, it is our fastest way back.
Yes.
Because obviously primetime coming to Boulder, just that sentence alone just carries so much weight. The whole world all of a sudden has their eyes on CU Boulder. You know, recruiting, all of a sudden you are involved in every battle. You know, Deion Sanders got the number one recruit in the country to commit to Jackson State. He didn't commit to Jackson State because he likes the campus.
No.
He committed there because a couple things, I think. Number one, he wants to play for Coach Prime. And number two, I think he believes in, you know, the revival of HBCUs, which is something that was near and dear to Prime's heart. So, in the end, if Primetime's coming to Boulder, he, at the very least, has a good opportunity of bringing the number one recruit in the country with him. He also has his son on the team, who is a much better quarterback than the Buffs have had in a very long time.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's immediate. All of a sudden, dominoes start to fall. Not only are you potentially bringing in the number one recruit in the country, but next year, you're in the conversation with the number one recruit in the country or a top five recruit in the country, and five-star athletes are considering coming to you. And Primetime, all of a sudden, has taken CU from a low-tier Pac-12 brand to a national brand. And if there's one thing that we have going for us as Buffs fans, it's the look is clean, the brand is clean, and, you know, the uniforms are dope.
Yep.
Well, all of a sudden, Primetime is, you know, he's made that obvious to everyone around. And all of the little things that we have going for us to this point, like the beauty of the campus and the mountains and the brand and all that stuff, well, that's worth, like, way more because, you know, one of the biggest names in football history is shining a light on it and bringing swagger and everything back to the fan base. It literally is the only thing, I think, that could turn this program around, I think, as fast as fans want it to happen every year. And it hasn't happened year after year after year. I think this is one of those ones where it's like you flip a switch the second that you get him here and you kind of just go along for the ride and hang on as long as you can. But you hope that you know, he's your coach for 2-3 years at least. Mm-hmm. And by the time he leaves, he's, you know, he's stocked the cupboard, turned around the national perception, hopefully won a couple games here and there, and you're back on track.
Certainly exciting, and the biggest name in this coaching search for the Buffs, and it is for real, as we talk about.
And just to highlight the for realness of it, I guess, it was kind of buried in that 24/7 Sports article, but I felt it was the most notable thing in there, which was Deion has presented a recruiting plan to the powers that be at CU, meaning it's not just them at his doorstep begging him to come.
Yeah.
These are real conversations about what would it look like if you were the head coach here. And for him to even take 5 minutes, if that's all it took him, to say, okay, well, I'm going to recruit here, here, and here, means he's somewhat interested.
Absolutely. I mean, you might be asking yourself, too, what does CU offer that would be enticing to Deion? Well, at Jackson State right now, he doesn't really have the budget to pay all these assistant coaches, to do all these things he wants to do on the coaching staff. You would obviously get that at a Power 5 school. It should be mentioned, I mean, a lot of people are saying Power 5, CU has that advantage over South Florida. I think South Florida moves into the Big 12 next year, actually,
really?
Too. Yes, they're part of that 4-team package, Cincinnati, okay. Houston.
Did not know that.
Yeah, so I think that happens next year. But regardless, we've seen this team and this program invest a lot more in NIL. You'd imagine with Coach Prime there, NIL is just through the roof.
Yep.
I mean, the things that he could do, the partners he could bring in, the businesses that he would be able to just mosey close up to and really just get them on board almost instantly would be night and day for this program. But I think, I mean, this is something you have to worry about if you do hire him, because as you mentioned, it could only be 2 or 3 years. You brought this to my attention last night, the Tennessee situation where someone broke news that Lane Kiffin might be out.
Or you, the Ole Miss.
Or Ole Miss, sorry. That Lane Kiffin might be out and might be taking the Auburn job. Maybe intriguing for Deion Sanders to go to stay in state and just coach for Mississippi, right?
Yeah.
But would it be concerning to you just the possibility?
Is it UCF or USF going to? UCF would make more sense.
UCF definitely. You might be right there. So stand by on that, I guess. But my
question, look that up while you talk.
Okay. But just talking about this thing too, and it's something that was brought up today at practice, is yeah, it'd be fun and exciting for 2 to 3 years, but would you be worried, I guess, after that? Because if he's hired, you'd see the effect instantly. You'd see all these recruits come in. You'd see the transfer portal would be absolutely popping. Not only guys from Jackson State, but just from all over the country. But if he leaves, that kind of goes with it. Is that concerning in any way, do you think?
Yeah, but you can't live in that world. You can't be afraid of hiring good people because you think they might leave. And to be fair, it's a different landscape than it was in college football, where a coach leaving is actually a lot more detrimental now, even than it was when Mel Tucker left. Like, it's only getting worse because everyone can just walk out on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he wanted to bring his whole team with him somewhere else, like, he could. So, yeah, that worries you a little bit. But, again, it's not like you can go through this saying, like, hey, we should hire a kind of good coach first, try to keep him around for 5-6 years and be relevant for a little bit before he leaves. It just doesn't work that way. Hire the best possible person you can. Bring them in here. Try to, accelerate your process of becoming relevant again. And then you have to nail the hire again next time. Like, that's how you do it, right? Whoever it may be, you're sure you're going to have some attrition, but it's on that person to replenish it. You know, hopefully if Prime were to come here, I would assume parts of his negotiations include administrative policy changes that make things easier for the next guy. Like, you know, it was Mike McIntyre who said, yeah, I'll come here. You got to build me a new facility. Well, he made it better for the people after him. When you hire a coach like this, you probably have to make some concessions that will set you up better for the next round that you hire. So yeah, hire Prime. I don't know if it's worst case scenario, but even if you were to coach 1 year, and you have all these amazing players and you win a bunch of games, and then he goes to Florida State, you're in a better place now than you were, a year ago, as long as he doesn't do it at the very end of the cycle like Mel Tucker.
Absolutely. Yeah, shout out everyone in the comments. It is UCF, not USF.
Well, that's good news for us.
That's an interesting comment from Francois Simmons right there. This is something that's been thrown around, though, this Prime Prep Academy and how it failed and a lot of these like fake prep schools kind of coming up. He was tied up in that. Do you think that has any weight on this decision?
No.
No?
No. If you can get him here, you get him here. If you can't, you can't. That's the entire conversation, in my opinion, from top to bottom. And I guess it just comes down to this. Are you trying to get good at football again or not?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, then yeah, you care about things like that. And the regents, I'm sure, will do their bullshit. But in the end, it's like, okay, do we want all the benefits that comes along with being a legitimate football school? Because the benefits are immense for the entire university, not just, people like me who for some reason have decided that, my happiness on Saturday depends on the success of 18 and 19 year old kids. It's the entire university benefits. There's more national exposure, applications go up. It's just the best thing you can have as a public research university, as a advertisement for your school, is a good football program. So if people want that, then you make a move like this. If you don't, then what's the point of even having the team at all?
Right. You've seen the students kind of hang on through this tough season and really show out every home game. I know there's a lot of apathy amongst a lot of the fan base, but I think that hiring Primetime would be a huge way to win everyone back. Do you have any final thoughts before we move on?
I don't want to move on. I just want to talk about this all day. like you said, this is like an instant thing where anyone and everyone who has once cared about the program is like back in.
Mm-hmm.
The bandwagon would be insane. It might take a second, but like one thing that's really missing right now is like high school kids in Colorado thinking that CU is cool.
Right.
That's just like a flip of the switch. You have your pick of who you want in Colorado. Mm-hmm. It's a really wild thing that this is even an opportunity, and it shocks me that maybe some of the bigger schools are afraid of making this move. And it's kind of just the perfect situation for us to be like, okay, what better school to just take a full-on, roll of the dice, forget about you know, recruiting footprint and forget about cultural fit. Forget about all that stuff and just say, like, we have an opportunity to get a, you know, Primetime himself is a national brand. To have that on our sidelines, mm-hmm. repping us, promoting us. You know, everyone in the country wants him on their podcast or
right.
their show or whatever it is. It's just instant. And I believe that this is happening, but I mostly just hope that the people who are in charge of making this happen are doing anything and everything they can to make it happen.
I will say we've seen a lot of rumblings online about this. There's a lot of good stuff going on in the Discord. If you are a DMVR diehard, you can pop in there. As you all know, we've changed the membership model, free written content, all kinds of member benefits coming through. Also, shout out to our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. With Thanksgiving around the corner, this is probably, and rivalry Saturday for college football. Is there a better weekend to bet on football?
Man, football in both senses of the word.
Yeah, soccer, World Cup, let's go.
Exactly. No, I don't think there is. I mean, this is, other than like, Wild Card weekend is pretty epic. You know, college football playoff weekend is pretty epic. You know, the New Year's Six, but this is right up there.
Huge weekend, and DraftKings has you set up with this promotion. You can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. You can also check out their stepped-up same-game parlays where you can boost your odds up to 100%. Tons of great deals on the home screen also. Just scroll across the top. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code DMVR. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DMVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Also, shout out to our friends over at Athletic Greens. With it being cold and flu season, now is the perfect time to get in on Athletic Greens. Get those 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens in your body to combat this flu season. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements. So look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune support and vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/buffs. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/buffs to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. All right, that was fun. We have to talk about this year's team now, Ryan.
Okay.
The season
this
is...
This year's basketball team?
Unfortunately, the football team right now. They took another beating on Saturday against Washington. They have Utah this week. They are, again, 30-point dogs. We'll pick all the Pac-12 games after this segment. But some interesting storylines to get to. I mean, obviously, the seniors are being paraded around and shouted out in Boulder right now because it is their last game. Brady Russell, Terrence Lang, tons of guys that have meant a lot to this program playing their final games. I guess, what are you really looking for in this final game? What do you want to see out of the Buffs in this final game as a lot of these guys play their last football game?
I think it's the same thing I've been hoping for a few weeks now. It's just like go out and see those guys make some plays. Like to see Brady Russell make a catch and run someone over. You know, I'd like to see Terrence Lang make a big sack and get a, you know, a sack celebration in front of his friends and family who are there. The bar is pretty low. I will say one other thing I want to see is just a more competitive performance than what we saw this last weekend. That's rough when just there's never a second of hope in the whole game. Mm-hmm. I'm used to it at this point in terms of not winning. You'd like to be able to sit down and watch the team, or in this case at home, stand up and watch the team and just for 1 second believe that they might win. Last week was kind of one of those everything that can go wrong will go wrong type of weeks. Whereas like the week before against USC, you're up 3-2 at the end of the first quarter. It's like, wow, what if there's a miracle in the cards tonight? You know, that it's an extremely low bar, but it's also kind of a big ask for a team who is so outclassed and outmanned by a school like Utah.
Yep, it's very true. I mean, the weird sequence at the end of the first half where Washington scored in three different ways. They got a field goal, a safety, and a touchdown in the last minute and 30 seconds. Just brutal stuff. Do you think there's any hope for, I don't want to say win, but covering this weekend?
What's the spread?
30.
Wow, it's okay. Yes, I think there is hope. I think there is a glimmer of hope that they cover the spread.
Love to hear that. Obviously, another storyline. This is Coach Sanford's final game, we're assuming, on the sideline for this team. We'll see if he's able to come back next year or what other opportunities present themselves. I think he's done as great as a job as he possibly could. We've already talked a ton about him. But I guess, do you think he has anything left in the bag of tricks? I mean, they've had trick plays at some points in his tenure as head coach, but is there anything else he could possibly do to squeeze any more blood from the stone that is this football team?
I don't think so. I think that he's going to try anything and everything he can. Like, that's the hard thing about this is, you know, when we had this conversation last week, just kind of talking about his prospects of becoming a head coach and all that, it's truly, in my opinion, and I know there's angry Buffs fans on the internet everywhere who probably wouldn't agree with this, I don't believe there's really that much that he could have done. Mm-mm. In fact, I think he did the one thing he could do,
yeah,
which was beat Cal.
Mm-hmm.
And even that was unlikely, right? There were 14-point dogs.
14 and a half?
Yeah. So, you know, when I look around the internet and I see people saying, like, essentially, like, this guy sucks and this, that, and the other thing, I really couldn't disagree more.
Same.
At the same time, I just think he's played every card he has. He's done everything he can do. He's tried everything he can try. There's no players to turn to. There's no plays to turn to. Like, sure, maybe you see a trick play, but at the same time, a coach has to trust his players to be able to do these things without screwing up.
Right.
And even that, I just don't know if he has the leash to trust them to. So, you know, it's also not a knock on these players individually. Each one of these guys is giving their, pouring their heart into these efforts and trying to do what they can. It's just collectively they are a very bad football team. And I don't know if there's anything anyone can do this week or over the last 5 weeks that could have changed that.
Yeah, sounds like we have to gut out another tough one this weekend. Some more positive news, though, off the field. Two CU players gained NIL deals from the Bus for Life NIL Collective. This was made a huge deal when it was announced a few weeks ago. It's obviously going to provide the university with some great resources to pay players, help retain their roster, and that's one of the main coaching points Sanford has talked about throughout this year, and it's something he was really proud of when that transfer window opened when Carl Durrell was fired. They only lost one player in Brendan Lewis. He's been really proud of that fact. The fact that Jordan Tyson and Van Wells, these two freshmen who came in and were able to make an immediate impact, have been rewarded and compensated for their work this year, I think is encouraging.
Yep.
Just your thoughts, I guess, on how this Bus for Life collective has already started to really reap some benefits for this football team.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction, is what it is. And I think that, you know, if Coach Prime were to come here, it will be the first step in something that needs to be addressed, and I guess the word would be attacked much more aggressively than it has been. Not just by I'm not even necessarily pointing my finger at the administration here. It's more at the fans and, you know, the people around the community that care about CU football making these things happen, making these deals happen. And again, it's another reason why I just feel getting Deion Sanders to Boulder is so imperative, because I just think one of the main reasons why you haven't seen CU fans as a whole attack NIL at you know, with the aggressiveness that I think we need to, is because everyone's worn down and beaten down.
Yeah.
And it's just hard, I guess, to, you know, for people to say, oh, well, am I going to really make any sort of big impact? Whereas if you look at places like Alabama or Auburn or any of these places, which not you don't necessarily have to be on the same plane as, but you want to get there.
Right.
Everyone will do any little thing they could possibly do to help the team. And I don't necessarily blame CU fans for not being at that level right now, because it's been a one-way street, right? We haven't gotten really anything back from being CU fans for a long time, other than a quick blip of the radar in 2016. So I don't expect people to be saying, oh my God, what if I can help 1% in getting one player, I should do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just there's no ROI right now.
Yep.
And I just think if they're able to get this, the ROI will feel like it's going to be immediate. And at the same time, I appreciate the people with this Buffs for Life collective for doing what they can, because these are, you know, the people who I guess matter the most, right? They're the people who can rally those around them to help with this. And someone had to do it, and it was, you know, the closest core of people around the program that care about the program that got the ball rolling. And I know it's a huge, huge priority for this program to keep a guy like Jordan Tyson around and to keep a guy like Van Wells around. And I think the list goes on beyond those guys, Anthony Hankerson, you know, et cetera. And this is a step in the right direction to doing so.
It's encouraging to see. We'll see how much. I mean, the offseason can't come soon enough for a lot of reasons, but seeing the evolution of this NIL collective and just seeing what this new head coach is able to bring to this program is going to be massive for not only the retention of this roster, but the overall future of the program. Before we wrap up today's show, I want to tell you guys about Ivaca TV. They are the new GOAT in Colorado sports. It's the best way to watch the Avs, Nuggets, DU, CSU, UNC, and MSU. Also, they have our Serbia documentary from the Nuggets crew, 100 Invisible Threads, on there for you. Some of you may be watching us right now on the DNVR channel on Ivaca TV. Right now, new customers can sign up for $25 plus the $5 receiver box. The best way to watch sports in Colorado. Shout out to Ivaca TV. Let's pick some games, man. It's a huge weekend in the Pac-12. A lot of not only... Go ahead.
Before we get to that, I just wanted to address a comment above. We don't necessarily have to go find it, but it was right up there talking about how former CU players have been boosting Prime, which is awesome, right? I hope he sees that, and I hope, you know, if he's wondering where the support's coming from and all that. At the same time, if I'm Rick George, every single one of those guys who's in the NFL, you know, you saw it from Cheeto, you saw it from David Bakhtiari, you saw it from, I think, a few other buffs in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Every single one of those guys, I'm picking up the phone saying, hey, read your tweet about how we got to get Prime to Boulder. Want to open up your checkbook?
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, part of this too, right, is the people who love and care about this program with a lot of money putting their money where their mouth is and helping out. So I hope those guys, and I'm not saying they wouldn't. Right. I'm just saying, you know, if I'm Rick George, I'm saying, hey, I'm with you. We do got to get Prime to Boulder. Help me out here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, only boosting that NIL collective before he gets here will only help. So we'll see how that goes. As I mentioned, massive weekend in college football and for the Pac-12. Playoff implications on the line. Championship game implications on the line, too. USC locked themselves in on Saturday with that win over UCLA. What a game that was. But hell, there's tons of, I mean, with the way the Pac-12 did away with divisions, there's so many ins and outs of how this works. Of course, Oregon can settle it all themselves if they beat Oregon State in that Civil War game. We start on Friday, though. Two struggling teams. This is a rivalry game, though. ASU at Arizona. Jaden Delora kind of fell apart in that second half last week. Four second half interceptions.
Yikes.
The Wildcats are minus -4. How do you feel?
Give me the Cats.
Yeah.
Live by the JDL, die by the JDL. That's what I do here. The Devils have been better. I also prefer them as if I had to pick a school that I like better out of these two.
Yeah, 100%.
I like ASU a lot better, actually, having spent time in both areas. That being said, I can't go against JDL.
Yep, I'm counting on him on a bounce back, too. I'll take the Wildcats minus -4. This is also on Friday, a local rivalry game. Also, UCLA traveling to Berkeley to take on Cal. The Bruins are 10-point favorites. DTR kind of fell apart down the stretch last week.
I felt like it was one really bad play from him.
He had 6 touchdowns and 4 turnovers, though.
Fair enough.
So, minus it's 10.
Full experience.
Yeah, full experience. How do you feel?
UCLA by 1,000.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Cal's been a little bit more frisky, but I think that they're angry, and DTR has something to prove still, so I'm going to take them minus 10. Also, on to Saturday we go. I already kind of touched on it, but a massive game in terms of Pac-12 championship game implications. Number 12, as it stands right now, of course, rankings come out tonight. Oregon, minus -3 favorites, traveling to Corvallis to take on Oregon State. Oregon State been frisky all year. Can they end the Ducks' hopes?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. Taking them?
What's the spread?
3.
Wow. That's the book knowing. They know that this game is always difficult. for the road team. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the story here is Corvallis, Beavers at home, raucous atmosphere, makes things a little bit tougher on Bo Nix.
Yep.
And
he's hurt.
Yes, exactly. And give me the Beavers straight up.
Wow, love that. Bengal Branson played really well last week. I'm going to take the Beavers too. I don't know if I'm as courageous enough as you are, RK, to take the money line, but I love the plus three. An out-of-conference matchup, final weekend of the year. Although it is a rivalry game, number 18 Notre Dame traveling to number 7 USC. USC is already locked in a spot in the Pac-12 championship game, but they're still fighting for that playoff position. They were ranked 5th in the AP and the coaches poll. We'll see what the playoff committee thinks of them tonight, but -5.5 for the Trojans at home against Notre Dame. Notre Dame's been frisky.
This one makes me sad because it would be very beneficial for Colorado for USC to make the college football playoff. In fact, you know, it would be like the first nice thing USC's ever done for the Pac-12 since Colorado got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of
if you're a parting gift almost.
Right, exactly. If you're a school like Colorado, you kind of have to count on the blue bloods of your conference bringing in some money for the conference. And especially USC has greatly, greatly disappointed in that area during the time that CU's been in the Pac-12. With all that being said, that's exactly the reason why I think USC blows it again. They lose to Notre Dame. They're out of the conversation. And the Pac-12 goes another year with no playoff.
It would be brutal. I'm actually going to take the Trojans -5.5. I think that Caleb Williams is just too much.
Hope you're right.
A little bit of a tangent here, though. Did you see that UCLA's move to the Big Ten might get blocked and that USC wouldn't get blocked? But if that does happen, looks like Oregon and a lot of these other schools are on the table. Is the Pac-12 in jeopardy still, do you think?
No, the Pac-12 is going to stay around just as a weaker version of itself, which actually may be a positive for the Buffs.
Yeah.
You know, you add in a couple more winnable games every year, mm-hmm. because it feels like every year you look at the schedule and you're like, okay, there's, you know, 9 Pac-12 games, 4 of them are winnable and 5 of them are, you're in trouble.
Yep.
Maybe it's the other way around, but either way, you take out, you know, USC, a team that we've never beat in our history. And I think it's just honestly for the better. Like I've said, there's eventually going to be a massive ending to the way that we know college football.
Yep.
You have a limited amount of time to try and prove why you should be in that, you mm-hmm. know, why you should be a part of the two conference system, which will probably be like the All-State conference and the Geico conference.
Yeah, it will.
And you're either in it or you're out. And if you're out, it's kind of, you're not even playing for anything anymore. You're just playing right. for fun. So again, another reason why you got to get primed to Boulder.
Yes. 100%. Tons of interesting storylines throughout the offseason, even though the football team is going through a lot. Let's finish up these games, though. Another huge rivalry game, this one, the Apple Cup. Number 17, Washington, 2-point favorites, traveling to Pullman to take on the Cougars. Do we believe in Cam Ward in the rivalry game?
Not me. Give me the Huskies. They just made it look so easy last week.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to rest their starters for most of the end of the game. So I think that Michael Penix is just too much for that Washington State defense.
I think I'm going to take the Cougars.
Nice.
I like the dog in the rivalry game at home. Cam Ward, I think, has some magic in him. And most importantly, I think Washington State's defense can actually give Penix and the Huskies some problems. Another out-of-conference game, though. BYU traveling to Stanford. What a weird game for last one of the season.
Yep.
Cal and Stanford played last weekend. But the BYU Cougars, 6.5-point favorites at Stanford. Both of these teams disappointing, though.
Yeah, I think Stanford covers this. I don't know if they win, but I think you just get a close game of two underachieving mm-hmm. teams.
Yeah, I took them last week. They really kind of threw up on themselves at the end of that Cal game. We'll see what happens there. David Shaw could be a name to watch for, too. Tons of storylines as we head into this offseason. It's going to do it for us today on DMVR Buffs Live. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. There is another podcast under this one in your feed, so you got two going into the holiday. We will do the final one on Saturday after the Utah game as we kind of put a bow and wrap up this college football season. Any final thoughts, Ryan?
Let's get it done. Let's get Dion here.
Let's get it happening.
Make it happen.
Primetime in Boulder. Until Saturday, Sko Buffs.
Sko Buffs.